Psalm 46, verse 10. The first part of verse 10 is our text for the sermon this morning. What I'd like to do is read the whole psalm just to have a feel for its context that I'll comment on, and I will revisit a little bit, but we're mostly going to be thinking about verse 10 today and only the first part for the most part. So I'd like to read the whole psalm since it's not very long, and we'll focus on verse 10. Hear now the word of the Lord, Psalm 46. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease. Unto the end of the earth he breaketh the bow, and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Beloved, let me read verse 10 again for our focus of our sermon this morning. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And particularly we focus on this. Be still and know that I am God. This morning, I believe that God has directed us together to this text. I intend to return to Matthew next week. Among other reasons, including my own needing a little more time, as the sections in Matthew will need a little more attention than previous weeks. But particularly, I am thinking of what some of you are going through again. I'm also thinking about what we are all going through with the present state of uncertainty, with the pandemic and its many effects on our lives. So many seem so restless. So many seem so anxious. So many seem so very agitated. And I mostly have the church in mind as I see them in the news, or sometimes interacting with others. So many seem so restless. So many seem so anxious. So many seem so very agitated. They have a need to be still and know that God is in control. You see, the way to have peace of heart, not for us to get control of something or things, the way to have peace of heart and mind in this raging world is to know that God is on his throne. And I submit that to you as the message, the general idea of this verse in its context. And I'm blessed to even see some of you nodding. You and I know how much we hold on to this truth to have peace in this world. The way to have peace of heart and mind in this raging world is to know that God is on his throne. As I was working on this sermon in the early morning, Our youngest son awoke, stirred from his sleep. He's still learning to calm himself, and we're still learning to work in helping him. Although, boy, he's been doing better the last four nights. We've experienced lasting sleep for a while, and we're like, wow, this feels great. But he woke a little early this morning, though he slept well. But he's still learning how to calm himself when he wakes and we're not there. I went and I greeted him at his door. He's usually there at the other side of the door like this. I told him to quietly say, Dada. And he goes, Dada. And then I'll say, Mama. He says, Mama. He repeats calmly, and I hugged him, and I took him to his chair, and I rocked him. I gave him his bottle of milk, and he quickly relaxed his body, began to breathe heavily, and fell asleep. Now, before I continue, let me give you this disclaimer. I don't always handle it so well. I've been sleeping better, so I was more patient. I don't always enter in and handle it that well. And it's interesting when I'm a little more frustrated. You're supposed to be sleeping. I don't get any sleep. He doesn't usually settle down quite as easy then. But as I approached him, I hope a little bit more in reflection of our Heavenly Father, he responded to that. I'm thinking of Proverbs 15. That's more of a disclaimer for my own conscience before I continue. This is not exalting me. That being said, after he fell asleep, I brought him and laid him down next to me on the couch as I worked. And he did what he usually does. He's kind of like this. I lay him down and he does something like this. He opens his eyes. He wants to make sure I'm still there. And because I'm still there, he goes right back to sleep. Does the same thing with Mama. We've kind of laughed. Sometimes when we lay him down next to us in the early hours, he'll look, okay, you're still here. If we're not, we'll hear from him. But all that he needs is to know I'm there, that I'm still there. That's all he needs, to be still and to rest. And beloved, it's the same for you and me with our Heavenly Father. We need to know that God, who needs no sleep, is always there, and that he has all in control. As we know his still small voice and relax in his calming, comfortable, protective presence. As my son was able to be still knowing me, so beloved, may you be still knowing God. That's the message for you from this text this morning. Be still, knowing God. We have a phrase, cut me some slack, and I want to just be thinking about this as it relates to a greater context of where that phrase comes from. The phrase was used by men who were docking ships, meaning to loosen the rope, to give out more rope. You know, when they bring a boat toward a dock, they bring the ropes out and they slowly try to bring it to shore and bring it in. Actually, for your amusement, we have a little bit of a tradition now. When we go to Big Bear Lake, we take a boat out, kind of one of those pontoon boats, which isn't that easy to steer, and they have a couple of restrooms on the water, and it keeps turning, you know, and we keep trying to get it and get our rope and pull it in. And anyways, it's quite a sight to see me trying to dock that boat. But, you know, you work with the rope to try to get it in and tie it up, and sometimes you have to loosen the rope to work with things. And that's where this idea of having slack, give me some slack, comes from. Loosen the rope as we're trying to work with this boat and get it docked. If it's too tight, there's no room to relieve. If it's too tight, there's no room to readjust. But more than that, leaving slack allows the boat to float with changing tides. If you tie the boat too tight with the rope and the tide goes down, the boat is going to be up like this and tight and almost hanging itself. It's the same idea. If you tie the boat too tight and it's low tide and the tide goes up, the boat's going to be upended and it isn't going to have room to be able to adjust and to stay relaxed. I submit that to you because this Hebrew word for be still, when it says be still and know that I am God, the Hebrew word for be still means to slacken your grip, to loosen your grip, to give some slack out, to give some room to breathe and move, to relax. It means loosen the rope. Don't hold so tight. Relax. It even can have the idea of sink. You know, just kind of let go. How can you do that? Know God is God. By knowing God is always in control and he is always protecting his people. The psalmist, in the context, as you saw as we sang and read, he's wrestling with all kinds of frightening, unsettling, disturbing aspects of life, such as severe weather and terrible war. The kinds of chaos that can unsettle the best of us and send us running for the hills. But instead, he brings us to this resolve in verse 10 with other verses. He says, "Be still, know that I am God." He says, we need to look to the hills, as Psalm 121 says, and know where our help comes from. It comes from God. Being still is taking refuge from the storm in God himself. Look at verses 1 and 2. Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Notice this constant emphasis on, but God is with us. And as Paul says in Romans, if God is with us, who can be against us? Nothing is the rhetoric there. This emphasis on Emmanuel, God is with us through Christ. This emphasis on that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. This emphasis that he's with us, guiding us as our good shepherd. He is our refuge. We don't try to tighten up. We don't try to do our own battles. We don't try to brace against the storm. We take cover in Christ. We relax under him and let him be our shield. And we especially take this benefit in worship. Look at verses 4 and 5. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High God. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Notice the contrast with the heathen and the wicked who do not have God but are raging against him. You might think of Psalm 2 in that regard. Only the church, only Jacob or Israel, the name representing the people of God, the church, only they have God as their refuge. Only they have a reason to be still and have peace because they know he is in charge of all of it. He's the creator, he's the redeemer, he's the sustainer, he's the deliverer, and they are in his hands. Remember, beloved, that your strength is in stillness. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That is, be still and know that I am God. And if you lack stillness, or that is, if your lack of stillness causes sleeplessness, you may still rest in those moments with your Redeemer by your side, always by your side. Remember that he has songs to give you in the night. At all times, pray Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they strengthen me. Same thing that is said here in the psalm, we will not fear. It isn't that there are not very scary things happening. It isn't that there is not great uncertainty in this life. Yes, of course, that's why we want to be rescued out of this world and into the next. But we're going through the world for a time as pilgrims, strangers, and we need to know how to make it along the way for the perseverance of the saints. And it's being still, it's taking refuge in Christ, it's trusting him, it's learning to trust and sense and know his presence at all times, resting in him and not being afraid. Back to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Knowing God is in control is to leave room to sense his sovereign presence around you and with you and to be able to adjust, be flexible, and work with him. Knowing God is in control gives you room to sense his sovereign presence around you and with you, so his peace is within you. Remember, Christ says, I have a peace to give you that's not of this world, while you're in the world, but not of it. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, Paul says, and keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. But it's a peace that comes as we give some slack, as we're still, as we loosen up and sink into his arms, and not keep straining our arms as if we can really do much about anything. It's having an ability, being still and knowing God, is having an ability to appreciate that God will be exalted everywhere. That God will be exalted in everything, including all the things that rock your world. And is this not your chief end? To glorify him in all things, even in your weaknesses, to say great if it is for God's strength to be shown within it. So pray that God glorifies himself in your present situation and that you find stillness in his presence. Remember you in Matthew chapter 8, in the midst of a raging sea, they called upon Christ and he calmed the storm and he stilled the waters. Remember the gracious means of knowing God, to have his spirit still your stormy souls. Remember what we saw recently, Jesus in Gethsemane. What kept him at peace, what gave him resolve in all of his agony of spirit? Unceasing prayer. Remember Jesus in the wilderness, we saw recently again reviewing Matthew chapter 4. What gave him his resolve not to follow Satan? What gave him his resolve to stay the course? Constantly feeding on the Word of God. Hear Jesus, and go to Jesus who says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You have to go to him. Go to him. Let me share with you my wonderful experience this morning, just really spending time in prayer. I was anxious, seeking direction to be feeding you this morning, seeking clarity, praying over certain scriptures and asking God to help and meet our needs. And he, at the point where he gave me resolve and a real sense of what he wanted to bring, I trust, to you this morning, I had such peace the rest of the morning, finishing the message and looking forward to be with you and worshiping him together. Just a small experience, but my own testimony, what I know you can share as well as your testimony, that really when you take refuge in God and just wait upon him in prayer and meditation, thinking about his word, he will meet with you as you give yourself shelter under him, and he will give you peace. I didn't say he'll take away the difficulty, but he'll give you peace with his own presence in the midst of it as the good shepherd guiding you. You need to loosen the rope. You need to give slack. You need to be still and know that he is God. And whatever is happening, you can say God is on his throne. Christ is on his throne. God knows what he's doing. He's not surprised. And he's doing something good for me in this. Learn how to relax and rest in Christ. Be still and know that he is God. My wife, Fernanda, has some fear facing the next delivery of our next covenant son, because the first birth was intense, unceasing pain. As you know, it went extremely fast and there was a lot of recovery from injury. As she's preparing for the next birth, she's talking with our doula, learning from her, and the doula said, well, one of the things you need to know this time is you shouldn't be holding tight onto a bar and clenching your body tight the entire time. That only makes it much worse for pain. You need to learn and trust God and let your body be loose and wait on him. Don't clench up and tighten up and hold tight. And we didn't know that, and that's what she did the whole time. And had we known, she could have had more relief by letting loose the rope, giving some slack, even to herself, sinking, relaxing the muscles. You see, bracing for it actually makes the pain worse. Let loose. Relax to get relief. Trust God. The doula, a Christian we're thankful to have found her, she says, you need to trust God made your body able to do what you're going to do. Trust that you can do this because of the way God made you. Trust that you can endure this because God will be with you and God is in control. He will be with you, taking care of you. And that is true whether or not we relax in it, beloved. But if we relax in it, we can enjoy much more stillness and peace, and the situation can be much less difficult for us. Peace, again, is not the absence of problems, but the awareness of the mighty and reassuring presence of King Jesus Christ. Are you not feeling right at the moment? Are you feeling uptight? Beloved, be still, knowing God. And this is the message again for you this morning. Be still, knowing God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted on the earth. Amen. Be still, knowing God. Let us pray. O Lord God, we do confess to you that we are so easily troubled by all the tribulations of this world, some of them extremely real and significant, extremely serious and difficult and painful. But there is a river with gladness in the midst, as you are in our midst. There is a refuge to be had in the God of Jacob. There is a peace that flows like a river. There is a way to endure by trusting that you are exalting yourself. You are showing your glory in all of this. We pray that we will be able to do now more what we'll do in heaven perfectly. Praise you and worship you and give you glory for showing your power and glory and sovereignty in all these things as you work your strength through our weaknesses. May it be that you work up our strength through our stillness as we would wait on you and have you strengthen our heart. Lord, let us take these words now and be still. Let us give some slack. Let us trust you who are docking our ship. We repent, O Lord, of our lack of trust, and we recognize our lack of relief because of it. Help us, Lord, to trust you more and have more peace with the process and to enjoy your glorious, merciful command to let today be sufficient for today and not to worry about tomorrow. Lord, take away our fear and instead replace it with greater faith. Faith in you and in your power and in your glory and in your sovereignty and in your providence and in your hold on our lives as we say our lives are in your hand and in your hands we commit our spirit. Let us bring peace and comfort to one another, consolation in the God of all comfort and consolation. Let us have greater peace as we learn from Paul how to be content in all things, trusting that we can through you, Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. And so we still our hearts before you by your Spirit and your grace, for your glory and for our own good. And we ask that you will help us in our private moments, especially where fear can attack us most and Satan can speak his lies, that everything is out of control, that we have to try to take control, that you are not with us, that you have forsaken us. O Lord, let us follow your example, Jesus Christ, and continue to go back to prayer and cry out to you to agony until you give us peace and resolve, trusting you will, to go forward and face whatever you have ordained for us. Knowing that if you are with us, nothing and no one can be against us. And you're working all things for our good, ultimately to conform us to the image of Christ and to receive us into heaven, where we will worship you face to face forever and ever. And this is our hope, and this is our only hope, and it is hope that is an anchor for our soul. As we anchor on it, let us be careful not to tighten the ropes in our muscles too much, but to learn to rest in the boat, trusting that even you, Lord Jesus, slept while there was a storm in the boat, because you have all things going according to plan. As we do not always understand the details of providence, help us to remember the truth of the Scriptures and apply ourselves to your word, to give you greater exaltation and to have more lasting peace. Let us indeed be still, knowing you and who you are in every moment. We look forward to that last great day and the eternal day where we will have perfect peace, perfect stillness and quietness of soul, and any kind of excitement will be joy and rejoicing and praise. And so we praise you now and ask your blessing on us as we go to enjoy our taste of the eternal rest on this Sabbath day. Bless us, O Lord, indeed, to be still before you, to have a greater sense of your providence, to worship in you and rest in you in a more blessed way for our own good and for your greater glory. And let us return this evening for the evening Sabbath sacrifice of praise, lifting up our voices to you before the world. And may you shine a great light and call out your elect and add to the church such as should be saved. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all your people said, Amen.